So without further ado, Pastor John.
Good morning. Bless the Lord. We just never know what God has in store for us, do we? Amen. When the text sound went off my phone at 7 a.m. this morning, I thought, now who's texting me at 7 a.m. on Sunday morning? At my age now, my eyes don't focus when I first wake up. So I'm trying to read this thing, trying to figure out what this is. Amen. Lift your hands and bless Him. Oh God, we give You praise, Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be Your name, Jesus. You're worthy of our praises, Lord. God, You're worthy of praise, Lord. Praise, Your word says, is comely to the upright, Lord. You inhabit the praises of Your people, Lord. And so we bless You. We honor You, our God. We give You praise. Thank You, Lord, that in this season we celebrate that the invisible God became visible. You dwelt among us, Emmanuel, God with us. Thank You, Father. And we bless You, Lord. Hallelujah. Rabba Shundra Bokeshanda. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Glory, honor, and praise belongs to the Lord. Hallelujah. Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise. For it was grace that bought my liberty. I'll never know just why He came to love me so. He looked beyond all my faults and saw my need. Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise. For it was grace that bought my liberty. I'll never know just why He came to love me so. He looked beyond all my faults and saw my need. And I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary to view the cross where my Jesus died for me. How marvelous His grace that caught my fallen soul. He looked beyond my faults and saw my need. Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad that God looked beyond your frailties, your weaknesses, your faults, your mess ups? God looked beyond all that, and He saw the need that we had, and He sent Jesus. He sent Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. He looked beyond my fault, and He saw my need. Amen. You can be seated. Hallelujah. Okay, we'll have some of this water. Thank you. Again, I'm glad to be with you, and I'm just grateful always for the privilege of being able to share the word of the Lord. We invite your attention to the book of Matthew. We'll start there. Matthew chapter 13, I believe, is where I want to go. Matthew 13, get here. And I'm in verse 53 of Matthew chapter 13. When Jesus had finished these parables, he moved on from there, coming to his hometown. He began teaching the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed. Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? They asked. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Aren't all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, only in his own hometown and in his own house is a prophet without honor. And he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. Amen. We see in this passage those who thought they knew Jesus. And they began to inquire about him as they contemplated his teachings. They contemplated the miracles they saw him perform and all these things. And it boggled their minds because they're saying, wait a minute, this guy is nobody special. We know him. We know his father. We know his mother. We know his sisters and brothers. Who is this? Is not this the carpenter's son? And I would take this forward to say that there are those yet today who know a lot about Jesus, but don't know who he is. And God's desire for us is that we would grow to know the Lord. And I want to talk about this morning about the knowledge of God and knowing God and the distinction between knowing about him and knowing him and what God has opened to us and what God's purpose in sending Jesus and Jesus coming is that we might know him, and which moves us beyond religion, moves us beyond ceremony and ritual and form, and brings us into a personal encounter with the living God himself. And thus, when he came, the Bible says of him that his name will be called Emmanuel, which interpreted means God with us, that we could know him. And we could, just like those who we see characterized here in the book of Matthew, speaking of Jesus and who spoke those things that they thought they knew about him and that they knew him. Yet we understand that they truly did not know him. And what I want to encourage you today is to be engaged in the pursuit of God, and that you don't get caught up in religious trappings and churchology and all those things and confuse those with the true knowledge of God. There are all the things that we do in the practice of worship. But then there is a vast distinction between all those things that we do in the practice of worship and in truly knowing God himself. I remember some years ago, and I had been saved at this point for probably, 30, 40 years then. I've known the Lord now for 60 years, praise God. there came a time in my life when there was a cry in my heart saying, a cry out of my heart saying, Lord, I want to know you. Now, I'd been saved. I'd been in ministry. I'd pastored. I'd started a church, pastored all that. But there was a stirring inside of my heart saying, God, I want to know you. And I believe it is God's desire for every one of us that there would be that kind of a stirring and a desire and a passion within our hearts that we are crying out to know him, the living God. We want to say, get past all the stuff. And, in church and in religion and in ministry and all that, we can get caught up in the stuff and we can get caught up in the things that we want God to do for us and miss out on the reality that God wants us, God certainly wants to bless and to prosper and all those things, but the deepest thing is that we know him. It is fellowship with him. It is communion with him that he desires with us. And there's nothing greater, beloved. There's nothing greater. There's nothing more precious for us to engage with and to commune with God and to walk with God. David said, one thing have I desired, and that will I seek after, that I might dwell what in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, that I might inquire into the beauty of his temple. David had a passion to know God, not just to receive from his hand, but to know him, to know his heart. And that was stirring in my heart, and it is a continuing adventure, if you will. It's a continuing pursuit to know God. Amen. Amen. Is not this the carpenter's son? Well, he was much more, we know, than the carpenter's son. He was much more than the brother of James and the others he mentions there. And again, we can find ourselves in a similar position if we don't understand the heart of God. I want to move on to Psalms 119, verses 33 to 40. If you turn there with me, Psalms 119. And again, we're talking about knowing God and growing in and deepening our relationship with the Lord, that we know him. And I could read, but I wouldn't take the time to do it, but I could read the entire 119th Psalm. Because David, and this is one of the most precious parts of Scripture to me, is Psalms 119. And especially in times of stress, or if I'm going through something very deep or painful or struggling at a certain time, I often go to Psalms 119. And I meditate through Psalms 119, and I pray through Psalms 119. But let me just pick out a few verses here and read them. Verse 10, David says, I seek you with all of my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I will rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. And then jump over to verse 33. Teach me, O Lord, to follow your decrees. Then I will keep them to the end. Give me understanding, and I will keep your law and obey it with all of my heart. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my heart toward your statutes and not toward selfish gain. That's something I pray from time to time. Lord, turn my heart. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. Fulfill your promise to your servant so that you may be feared. Take away the disgrace I dread, for your laws are good. How I long for your precepts. Preserve my life in your righteousness. Now, I want to emphasize something here. And it's throughout Psalms 119. David talks over and over again about God's word, about his precepts, his statutes, his judgments, his laws. And if we're going to know God, we must know him. Get that? We must know him through his word. We must give preeminence to the word of God and trusting the Holy Spirit to reveal Jesus to us through his word. And I make that distinction because we can get off into tangents and we can get off into a kind of pseudo-spirituality where we deal in ephemeral, abstract things and we impute to everything that happens and we try to fit some kind of spiritual pattern or something to it. That can be dangerous. It can be very misleading. We are to be rooted in the word of God. David talks over and over again about how he meditates. He meditates in the word. And he said the precept, and you know, our human nature rejects and resists being told what to do. We don't like commands. We don't like anybody commanding us. However, the wisdom that David came to, he recognized was that the commands of God were not limiting. They were, in fact, freeing and liberating. It is as we follow the commands of God that we find God's purpose and we find liberty. We find the things that we truly desire in life. It's through obeying God. We must learn to obey. And David said there, wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to your word. I have hidden your word. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I teach a lesson on the parable of the sower. And in that I say, no seed, no fruit. If you're going to be transformed, if you're going to know God, it is through the word of God. And let me just reference very briefly that parable of the sower, both found in Mark and also in Matthew 13, in fact, earlier, where Jesus, in talking about, he depicts or he speaks about four types of soil. And he says that the sower went forth to sow. And in his explanation of that, he says this, the seed is the word, the sower being himself. And the seed fell into different kinds of ground. And we know one, what the first seed on the wayside, the birds came along, he said, the fowls of the air, and ate it and consumed it. And he likened those to the careless hearer who did not value or appreciate the word of God. And so Satan came and stole away the seed, and it produced nothing. He talked about those that receive the seed in shallow ground. They spring up initially, excited. But then when the sun came out and persecution came, what? They fall away. Then he talked about those, and I think this is one that's particularly relevant for us. He talked about the seed that fell among thorns. And he said the thorns grew up and choked the word. And he said that it was the deceitfulness of riches and the cares of this life. See? So we can legitimately be seeking God, but be unfruitful if we allow the wrong things to captivate our hearts. And if we allow the mundane things of daily living to so occupy our hearts that they choke the seed. And the seed produces no fruit. And look, the knowledge of God and your being transformed to be like Jesus is not the fruit of your tenacious effort. It is not the fruit of your discipline or your trying so hard to be like him. It is the word that works in you that produces the life of God in you. It is the word of God working by the Holy Spirit that transforms and changes your heart. That's the Bible says to us, that we are to what? Present ourselves to God as a living what? Sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is our what? Reasonable or spiritual service. And then he goes on to say what? Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed how? By the renewing of your mind. And what brings about that renewing? It is the word of God. And so the word is central. And we must give our hearts to the word of God. And in that, it is we come to know the Lord in deeper measure. I want to read a passage out of this book this morning. When I got the call this morning and I began to meditate very quickly and say, Lord, this thought came to me. I remember I had not too long ago pulled this book off the shelf that I read years ago. In fact, I purchased this book in 1979 and I read it back then. I was 29 years old then. But this is by Watchman Nee called Spiritual Knowledge. Yeah, I cut my teeth in ministry on Watchman Nee, you might say. But listen to what he says here. A lamentable condition prevails today, which is that few of those who truly know that, which is that few are those who truly know God. Brethren, we may frequently listen to Bible knowledge and yet still do not know God. He only possesses some knowledge of the Bible. I'm sorry. He who only possesses some knowledge of the Bible is like one who fights with a mere reed as a weapon. He will bend as the wind blows. He has not the strength to fight. Let me ask, who can say today that he knows God's purpose, God's mind, his will, and his way? I often say that to know God is precious beyond measure. Nothing can be compared with it. Some people can open the Bible and speak quite well on a passage, but they may not know God at all. They may talk well, yet they are strangers to him. The knowledge of the Bible ought to lead us to the knowledge of God. This is not so nowadays, he says. And this is the key passage I highlighted years ago. From the experience of our Lord and the apostle, we discover one principle. If anyone wishes to know God, he must learn to have transactions with him. You know, when we say, God, I want to know you, get ready. Because, see, the knowledge of God is not just poured into our head or somehow absorbed by osmosis. It is through experiences in life, and particularly the experiences that replicate the things that Jesus went through. When Paul said, I want to know Christ, I want to have fellowship with him in his sufferings. Do you really want that? And then the disciples at one point asked Jesus, may we sit at your right and your left? And Jesus said, do you know what you're asking? Can you drink the cup that I'm drinking? Can you be baptized with the baptism I'm being baptized with? But if the precious thing is what is at the end of it? The more that I endure things in pursuit of God, the knowledge of God, the communion of God is so much more precious. Paul said I am persuaded that the sufferings of this time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed. And so the glory of God that I receive as I have transactions with God through my experiences in life. You see, you don't just go through stuff and not pay attention. As you encounter things, you pray, you seek God, you study the Word of God, and you let God mature and develop you in His Word. Amen. And that's how we come to know God. I've gone through, and I remember years ago, in fact, early in ministry, when it was a time that God was cultivating some things in my life, and I went through some very painful times. And somebody suggested, or I started studying the Psalms, and as I did so, the sufferings of Jesus took on a whole new dimension in my experience. When I found myself being misrepresented, when I found my motives being impugned and misrepresented, when I found myself trying to do good yet being rejected and being my good being evil spoken of. But as we go through those things, we understand and we identify with and we become partakers of the sufferings of Jesus, which Paul prayed sincerely for. I want to know him. Let me continue the passage here. In other words, he needs to deal with God and to be dealt with by God. Now, let me point this out too. You know, there are all kinds of ministries, and thank God for every ministry that the Lord has raised up. But one of the things that I have an issue with at times is all the people who are asking you to send them your prayer requests. James said, are any of you in trouble? What did he say? Let him pray. He didn't say go online and call so-and-so or send your prayer request in along with your best seed. Amen. Amen? Anyone in trouble? Let him pray. And, you know, God's desire, God's will, you know, again, thank God for the ministries he's raised up and those are out, but we ought to be getting our needs met and our nourishment in our family, in our local fellowship, and as we pray. The Bible said we're to bear one another's burdens. We are functioning in covenant community. And I ought not be sending my prayer request to somebody in Tulsa, Oklahoma, or in Texas, or wherever. My need ought to be coming to the house of God where God has planted me. And I ought to be praying. If you're in trouble, let him pray. And we will never know God until we learn and meet God in prayer. We'll never know him apart from having cultivated a life of dependency with him in prayer, where we know that God is faithful. Where we know because we've been through it, and our experience is not my mama, not my father, but it's me, Lord. And I've learned through my experience that God is faithful. I've learned in my life, and sometimes very painful situations, which I've been weeping and crying, broken and hurting. But I've learned to say, because of my experience with God, I've learned to say, God, I know that you're faithful. God, I know that I don't understand this. I don't know why things are happening. I can't figure it out, God, but this I know. And I've learned to affirm, God, you're good. And God, you're faithful. Hallelujah. I went through an experience also in my foolish youth. But I got tired of doing everything that I was supposed to do. I want you to hear me. I got tired of being the good one. I wanted to be able to do my own thing. But I couldn't do it. So I started turning on the secular music in the car. And I'm saying, no harm in that. And there was a song way back when it says, if loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. That spirit. And so I, for a brief season, thank God, I wrestled with this thing. And I tried mentally to go through my head and discount all the experiences I had had with God from my childhood. I tried to say it was all just make-believe. I made it up because I wanted to just run away. And I wanted, in fact, the Psalms 1 talks about, or Psalms 3, I think it is, about casting off restraints. And you see, our human flesh and nature, we want to cast off. And that's the mindset of the world. They don't want anyone telling them what to do. And so I went through this thing for a period of time where I tried to say, we've made this all up. It's not real and everything. And I didn't walk away from the church or anything. I was staying there, but just going through this head thing. And at one place, the Lord just arrested me. And I went like a flashback. It was almost like an image in my head where God just took me back through my life. You remember when I did this? Remember when I did that? Remember this? And at the end of that process, I had to hang my head and said, oh, God, I'm so sorry. I had to repent because I knew that it was real what God had done in my life. I knew that it was real. Hallelujah. Let me finish the passage, and then we go on to a passage in Philippians, and then we're going to close here. Let's see. We're on the pickup. Many Christians carelessly let difficulties or problems pass by without receiving dealings from God. They do not know why He sends them these difficulties. These people may read the Bible daily and seem to possess some knowledge and light, yet they are ignorant of the mind of God. Their knowledge is clearly insufficient. For this cause, beloved, we must deal with God and receive dealings from God, and then shall we truly know Him. Amen. You see that? Now let's finally go to Philippians chapter 3. And this too is one of my favorite passages in the Word. Philippians 3 and verse 7. And Paul says, but whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss. That's important because there's a mindset that we have sometimes that we think in terms of what we have to give up for God. But if I had $100 in my hand and Pastor Gloria had a $5 in hers, and I asked her to give me the $5 and I'll give you the $100. She would not hardly be talking about what she's had to give up. She'd be excited about what she's gaining. Give you $5, you can give me $100? Oh, I'll take that anytime. And if we understand things rightly, that's the nature of spiritual things in the kingdom of God. It's not about what we give up, it is what we're gaining. Are you hearing me? What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Don't we know him? Nah, you don't. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Amen? Amen. Stand with me, please, if you would. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. How many of them would say this morning, I want to know Christ. I want to know God. I want to know him. Yes. Just lift your hands. Thank you, Father. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Lord, on this Christmas Eve of 2017, we're thankful. We praise you, Lord. Oh, God, our hearts cry is that we might know you. Lord, not just the peripheral things or as the world claims to know you, or not, Lord, through ritual or form, but God, we want to know you, your purpose, your mind, your heart. We want to commune with you, Father, and the things that touch your heart, Lord, we want our hearts to be moved by them as well. We want to know you, Lord, and this is our prayer. We commit ourselves to you, Lord, and we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that you would continually, God, teach us. You said that when he, the Holy Spirit, was come, that he would take the things of the Father and of the Son and would reveal them to us. And so, Lord, in accord with your word and obedience, we offer ourselves as living sacrifices, Lord. Oh, God. Lord, we pray that you help us to say no to the world. And that, Lord, you said, come out from among them. Even so, God, may we do so. May our lives, Lord, reflect your glory. May we, Lord, live on the right side of resurrection. And that our lives, God, may be a living testimony, written epistles, that we know you and that you're living in us, Lord. Father, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. God bless you.
We want to thank God for today. We want to also remind everyone to please keep the health of our members in service. Pastor Jerry, keep her in your prayers, please. Pray over our pastoral team, all of them, please. Just keep them in your hearts. They pray for us all the time, and they keep us in their prayers. So let's please uplift them as well. We know the holidays are here, and we represent our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ this time of year. But we just want to encourage and remind everybody that every day is a miracle. You know, every day is an opportunity for miracles. And we have to remember this. Pastor actually asked me to speak over something he wrote this to the New Breed this past week. And I'm just going to go read it real quickly. It's called The Miracle Realm. It's by Harold McDougall. God's delight in both meeting the needs of his people and the needs of his ministers through the people. He uses this means as a double blessing. The needs of his ministers are met and his people are blessed for their faithfulness. Perhaps Elijah was criticized when he imposed himself upon the starving widow of Zephrephath. I'm sorry if I pronounced that wrong. And demanded her last bit of meal for himself. That widow, no doubt, praised God every day during the ensuing months that she and her son were sustained by his miracles, while other people perished from the famine. When he wrote that, it made me just think about, you know, how many of us, like, you know, are really that conscious to give our last of ourselves to the minister of God, or just the last of ourselves to God, period. You know, we, a lot of the times we have, you know, what they call a crab mentality. We have to scrape and pull, and we'll do whatever it takes to pull ourselves up, even if it means pulling someone else down. And when it comes to believers, that shouldn't be. We should always be looking to, even if it's our last, give it, because we know that God blesses us because of the faithfulness that we have. And I speak for myself that sometimes in life you can get so distracted. Definitely during this time of year, you know, you can get distracted by like, I got to get this. I got to do this. Everybody else is doing it. I got to do it too. But yet still, like, that shouldn't be with us. We should always have a heart to serve one another, to uplift one another, to love one another. That is the way. That is how God has called us to be faithful to him, by uplifting and loving our brothers and sisters. So whatever we give, you know, we already know assured that the promise is already ours. You know, so I just encourage you all just to continue to give love. You know, above all else, give love, give your service, give your prayers, you know, think about it. Pray to God. Say, Lord, who would you have me uplift today? You know, we know that there are some health issues going on or some arthritis, even if it's, you know, something like that. We know that our bodies of Christ throughout the world and just in this house have these issues. Why not seek God and say, should I fast for this, Lord? How can I devote myself, oh Lord God, to see them through? What can I give? What can I give? And this is just something for anybody. This is not, you know, condemnation or anything, but, you know, really seek to give yourself, because that is what Jesus did. And that's what this is what this time for us is representing, is what he gave for us. He gave his only begotten son. We didn't deserve it. We weren't qualified for it, but he opened heaven for us despite who we were. So just keep that in mind. And if all hearts is clear, anything else? Thank you, Pastor John. Yes, thank you for that word. Every time he comes, it's a blessed time. It's that blessed time. And we just thank all the people who came out today. We wish you a happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and you guys be safe. I'm going to close us out in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now, Lord God, for you are our gift, Lord God. Heavenly Father, whether we see things take place in this earth or not, Lord God, we know that we experience you by your Holy Spirit. So, Heavenly Father, we just pray that we will continue to grow in your Holy Spirit, that we will come to continue knowledge of who you are, that we will come to have a desire and a fire that is in our heart to want to know who you are, to put you first, Lord God, to separate ourselves from the distractions of this world, oh Lord God, and not be conformed to it, but to embrace who you are, to embrace that cross, to embrace the throne room of God. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, oh Lord God, let your word renew us day by day, Lord God. Heavenly Father, make us new, Lord God. Cleanse us of all unrighteousness, Lord God. Heavenly Father, that we may be able to be pleasing unto you, O Lord God. But Heavenly Father, we are getting ready for a wedding day, Lord God, with you. So, Lord God, we just pray that you continue to prepare us, continue to guide us, continue to help us to walk upon that straight and narrow path, so that we one day, oh Lord God, when you reveal yourself to the whole world, oh Lord God, we'll be able to stand beside you, oh Lord God, as your prized possession, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. So we just thank you for everyone who came out, even those who are not here. We just pray a covering upon them, oh Lord God, a special anointing upon our pastors, Lord God, a special covering, oh Lord God. May they dwell in your tent forever, Lord God. Heavenly Father, yet while here, right here on earth, Lord God, Heavenly Father, continue to lift us all up. Heavenly Father, bless us throughout these holidays until we come back together again. May you be glorified forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen.